Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Snap to Cole on 2nd and 10. In the pocket, throws across the middle. Intercepted! Dolak has done it again, returning at the 45, hurling at the 50, at the 40, crossing the field from left to right at the 35, at the 30, 20, 15, 10, 5, bullseye! Oh my God, the most amazing play you will ever see from a guy who has 5 of them every game, Sean Dolak. Unbelievable!
Paul Peck there on the call from UB's 37-20 win last night. We've been mentioning it throughout the show today. Bulls do win. They go to 7-4. They got one more game now next Tuesday against winless Kent State. Knock on wood, they should be 8-4 going into a bowl game. They're facing a winless Kent State team. But Sean Dolak, unbelievable story. He's kind of been becoming a bit of a no-name, especially since the Northern Illinois game where they got their second-ranked win ever in program history. But now, I mean, he leads the FBS in tackles. Josh, after last night, he is now second in the FBS in interceptions with 5. He is tied with a group of guys, but he is tied for second with 5.
Wow.
The leader is from Cal. He has 7. He's likely not going to get there, but he's a semifinalist for the Buckus Award. The finalist will be named on November 25th. He is a finalist for the Burlsworth Trophy finalist. That award is for the best player that began their career as a walk-on. The Buckus Award is for the best linebacker in college football.
You know, it
unbelievable.
Great for him. Fantastic for him. He's going to go in like the second, third round, isn't he?
yeah, there was hopes for me thinking like, oh, you know, maybe he'll like fall to like the 4th or 5th, and like the Bills can just kind of swoop him up, and that would partially just be for like the fun story of like,
yeah,
you know,
right,
you got
right.
Andreessen, now you've got Dolak, and no, Dolak's right. Awesome.
It'd be super
not
cool.
A shot. I mean, not a shot.
I mean, to be fair though, if he's this good and you want to spend a higher draft pick on him, hey,
I just don't know if it's necessarily like a huge need. I just don't know.
I guess it depends. Like, it depends on who's available in the other spots before that.
Yeah. By the way, total tackles as well. He's number one. UB's Red Murdoch, a junior linebacker, is number two at 135. Dolak at 146.
What?
So they will also have another awesome linebacker next year.
That's fantastic. This is the thing I've loved about UB football over the past couple of years, is it's just like linebacker U. Like,
yeah.
It's just, where do you get your linebackers? UB.
UB.
Oh, really?
Did
yeah.
Did you draft him? No, but he's an NFL player.
Yeah.
We just kind of grabbed him. They've been a lot of fun to watch this year. A bit of a boom or bust program, to be fair, at least this year. They've had games where they just blow teams out. They've had other games where it's like, oh no, guys. All right, just wrap it up. But
yeah.
Pete Lembo, he is doing something really, really good there.
If he doesn't win MAC Coach of the Year, I will be shocked.
I think it's got to be a runaway. I want to get the tweaks. I want to get the year and the coach's name right. But he is doing something. Yes, here it is. Pete Lembo, first year UB head coach with 7 wins. That is the first time that has been done since 1897. C.W. Dibley. I'm not convinced that's a real person.
What?
I'm not convinced that's a real person. That's not a real person. And also 1897? Come on. Who was keeping stats back then?
You know when
it was the Wild West.
Do you know when UB started their football program?
1897.
1894. This is the second head coach, likely the second head coach in UB football history, is the guy that held that record.
Yeah, Pete Lembo coming in first year, doing great. They got a win over Toledo this year as well, and Toledo, Ohio. They also played last night. They've been sort of the darlings of the MAC, at least in the regular season. They're 1-2 in terms of wins since I think 2016. But to go from 3-9 last year to and stare in the face down at least in the regular season 8-4. You're definitely going to go to a bowl game at that point. 6-6, it leaves up for interpretation because you're just bowl eligible. It doesn't mean you immediately get into one. 7-4, even better. And then now potentially 8-4 again, winless Kent State team next week. And I want to say that is going to be Tuesday night. Yep, that is next Tuesday, the 26th, 7 p.m. at UB Stadium. Should be fun. I actually went to their only loss at home this year.
Oh, so it's your fault.
Yeah, it's 100% my fault.
Nice.
What are their odds to win the MAC East?
I think or
get to the MAC Championship, I should say.
I think very low, because you got Ohio at 6-1 in the conference, Miami, Ohio at 6-1, Bowling Green at 5-1, and then Buffalo's at 5-2.
So I was
and the team they beat of that group, they've lost to Ohio. They beat Toledo. Toledo, though, losing last night, goes to 4-3 in the conference.
I'm diving down the rabbit hole a little bit here on this whole, you know, when UB football started, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their first season, they played 2 games. They lost both of them.
Nice.
They did not score a single point.
Nice.
You know who they played? 2 high school teams.
That's...
this is no disrespect to UB football program, but, like, that's crazy.
So good.
It's crazy. Like, again, this is the beginning stages of football too, so it's not like it was anything like
barely
we know.
A sport.
Like it's not like anything we know today. I mean, I'm looking at the team picture. There are 17 guys on the team.
Barely a sport. Yep.
There's 17.
They're
players.
Wearing sweaters.
Yeah, and they're all wearing different sweaters. By the way, none of them are matching.
So good.
But it is cool just to like look.
1897.
Look, just like to look back down this rabbit hole of like history here. It's just fun.
Can I just say how Northern Illinois was a ranked team and they are 3-4 in the MAC?
That loss should be held against Notre Dame harder.
It really should.
Great win for UB. Notre Dame, what are we doing here?
Yeah.
We were at home. It wasn't like you had to go on the road.
UB beat Northern Illinois, so I mean, UB beat Notre Dame.
As I did say, though, I went to a UB game this year. First time in a long time. I used to hold season tickets. Me, my dad, his buddy, my brother also was a part of it. Like, we went for 5 or 6 years. Drew Willey was one of my favorite quarterbacks growing up. I was a big Joe Licata fan as well. And I didn't go for 10-plus years. Went to homecoming this year, and it was such a cool environment. It was a lot of fun, great crowd. They ultimately didn't win the game. Little garbage from the refs, I'm just saying. Just saying. But I really like what they're building there. I Lembo mm-hmm. gives me a vibe of a guy that is not necessarily going to take the next big job. He seems like a MAC coach. That like he's taken coordinator and positional jobs elsewhere. I mean, he was just at South Carolina, but he feels like a MAC coach.
Yeah.
And
I remember talking to him, too.
I love what UB has, yeah.
He was such a great character to talk to, too, in terms of like who he is and probably in like the locker room and
which
everything.
Which threw me. I was not prepared for that.
Yeah, and if that's the culture he's creating here, it's I can see nothing but great things for UB going forward.
I think he outright called him a sleeping giant in the MAC. Yeah. I think he did. I can't remember exactly. Mm-hmm. But I've always kind of felt that way. There were years with Lembo or with Lance Leipold, and then their basketball programs as well. Yep. Felicia Leggett, Jack, and Nate Oates. That I was like, oh man, move up to a bigger conference. We've gotten better. Come on, and never materialized. But they have, I think, the ability, the foundation, everything to really have a run here. And for again, in year one, to go from 3-6 or whatever they were last year to 7-4 like that. Again, one more game at home. Against a winless Kent State team, who also were completely blown out by Akron for the wagon wheel, by the way, for Ross Tucker was calling that game the other day. It's big. It's a lot of fun. I really, really enjoy when UB is good, because, again, that was my childhood for college football. Yes, I've been a Texas fan for most of my life, but in terms of local college football, I went to a lot of UB games. And I had like a lot of nostalgia going back. Finally, actually sat on the other side of the stadium too, because my season tickets were on the other one. So like right. Going to the other side, I was like, I'd basically never been here. This is awesome. And it was really, really cool.
Brand new scenery.
Yep.
Hey, we just got an interesting tweet from Will.
I was going to say, because you were talking about anniversaries. We've got another one.
Yeah, so 14 years ago, again, this tweet comes in from Will. Thanks, Will. A box score and highlights from a Bills-Bengals game. He said it came up in a Facebook memory. The Bills win 49-31 to go 2-8. The Bengals also 2-8 at the time.
So good.
They fall to 2-8, I'm assuming. This is a crazy box score. So I'm in the screenshot, I'm only able to see up to halfway or most of the way through the second quarter. But by the end of the first half, the Bills were losing 28-13 and ended up winning.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is this the
49-31?
Why so serious?
The Why So Serious game?
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't realize that was that game. Yeah.
Stevie Johnson. All right. One of my favorite Bills of all time.
And then the next week they end up losing to Pittsburgh in overtime.
Yeah. Drought Bills, baby. Let's go.
Drought Bills. What were I want to look up real quick, what were Stevie's overall stats in that game? Because it wasn't just that. He had, I think, 3 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
Let me grab this. Yeah. 11 targets, 8 catches, 137 yards, 3 touchdowns. So good. Josh, oh man, he is my favorite Bill, I think, of all time, Stevie Johnson. Partially because for no reason, and I'd say that jokingly, during Darrell Revis' prime, where every great receiver is like, I can't. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get 2 catches for 10 yards every game.
Right.
Stevie Johnson would go out there and have like 8 catches, 100 yards, and a touchdown. It was on the dot every time. It was for no reason. He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the guy that Revis saw the most.
Right, exactly. Divisional opponent and everything.
Oh, man.
I also love looking at this box score because, like I said, up till the end of the first half, it was a pretty high-scoring game, and then the second half was all Bills, literally all Bills. You had 2 touchdowns in the third quarter, 3 in the fourth quarter. Like, the Bills get their first lead of the game in the fourth quarter on their third touchdown of the half.
I mean, when Stevie scores, the score at that point is Cincinnati 31, Bills 14. He makes it 31-21.
Yeah.
And then, Florence has a 27-yard fumble return for a touchdown. Brian Lindell's the kicker. Oh, boy. And then Stevie Johnson, 2 more. And then Fred Jackson also gets a rushing touchdown there as well.
2 rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
Yeah, he had one earlier in the game. That's the thing is, like, you look at this and it starts out pretty normal. It's 7-7 at the end of the first quarter. And then all of a sudden, it's 31-14 at the end of the half.
Jackson, 21 rushing attempts, 116 yards, and 2 touchdowns.
Wow. Fitzpatrick, 21 for 34, 316 yards, 4 touchdowns, and 2 interceptions. Palmer.
Oh, what a guy.
This was also the last year of the red helmets, because the next year that's when the Bills transitioned over to their current look.
Oh, man. I'm just going through these stats again, like seeing Terrell Owens is on this team. 9 targets, 3 catches, 63 yards.
Chad Ochocinco's on the Bengals.
Yep.
Like,
oh, yeah, they got him listed here as Chad Johnson.
Yeah.
6 targets, 3 catches, 20 yards, a touchdown. Owens also had a touchdown. Donald Jones is a part of this. 5 targets, 5 catches, 70 yards, and a touchdown.
Who had the fumble?
The Drought Bills. That would be the fumble return for a touchdown?
No, who fumbled it is what I'm saying.
Oh, I do not know.
Trying to find it here. It's not listed.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm looking. Oh, that would have been Cedric Benson.
Cedric Benson. I see it. I missed it.
Texas great Cedric Benson. There we go.
There's also two defensive touchdowns in this game. The fumble recovery touchdown, and then also Joseph Johnson on one of his two interceptions has a 27-yard return for a touchdown.
What a weird year. Where did the Bills ultimately go in 2010? I mean, they're 2-8 in this
game. They're 2-8 in that game, so probably not very good.
It wasn't like they were playing well.
4-12.
You know what? Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm now remembering this year and how I felt. It was not great, Josh. It was not great. Because you want to know who was dominating college football at this time and who really frustrated me that the Bills started winning games? Think about it. Arguably one of the greatest college football quarterbacks of all time. Really only played one season, too.
I can't get Cam Newton out of my head, but that's too
early. That's correct.
I thought that was too early, but I couldn't get Cam Newton out of my head.
The Bills lost to Chicago.
It's crazy how long ago he got drafted.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like, I didn't realize.
Especially, if you ever rewatch his Iron Bowl performance, it looks still like current college football. It doesn't look all
that
different.
Well, that's what
different.
I mean. Yeah. Because I'm thinking of, obviously, the glory years of Cam Newton with Carolina was like 2015, 16, 17. But to me, that's like his, like, second, third, and fourth year. That's not him being in the league for 3, 4, 5 years at that point.
Do you remember his debut against Arizona? Gets in there. I mean, wins the Heisman Trophy.
No.
One of the best years in college football. I think only in terms of quarterback position, really only surpassed by Joe Burrow in 2019. Goes in his first game, throws like 400 yards.
That's crazy.
And ultimately, his entire career would not really be known for throwing.
Yeah.
But I think that was his highest passing rating total or passing yard total in his career as well as his rookie year. Just it's a wild game against Arizona where he throws like 40 yards. I think they lose. He has like 3 rushing touchdowns. Like, you watched that game and went, we're fine. And this is a team that was Jimmy Clausen led in 2010. They were abysmal, Josh, on offense. I mean, awful.
This season was also the year the Bills traded Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah.
Because I'm looking here, and I'm looking at like other games, by the way, at that point. That Bengals win was the Bills' second win in a row because their first win came the week before in week 10.
It's Detroit. 14-12. What a barn burner.
Yeah, great game. But I'm also looking back, and I'm like, oh, highest rusher, Lynch, 2 weeks in a row in weeks 2 and 3. What happened? Where'd he go? And then I'm like, oh, yeah, that's the year he got traded.
That's so good.
Yeah.
And then that's where we actually, I don't know who the player was, but we just had the Beastquake celebration reenacted. because Marshawn Lynch in 2010 with a 7-9 Seattle Seahawks team beat New Orleans in the playoffs. They have one of the greatest playoff runs of all time, and he dives backwards into the end zone. I can't remember who just did it, but yeah.
I think I might be able to find it real quick right here.
Fun enough, I mean, I remember this season for how frustrated I was. I will tell you, the 2011 season is still my favorite Drought Bill season in terms of just like the memories I have. It's 2011 the next year because mm-hmm. they play, funny enough, Kansas City in week one, and they blow them out 41-7. And I just remember, I'm 12-ish at that point, 12, 13.
Oh, David Montgomery.
Montgomery, thank you.
Yeah.
But I was like 12, 13-ish at the time.
Wait, no, sorry, that was not.
That is not it?
Well, this one happened. This was posted September 30th.
Oh, then that's not it.
No, that's not it.
He was like this like last week. He was a college player.
Oh, see, I'm looking for. I thought you said. I thought I you were saying.
I think
it's
he was
NFL.
A college player.
No, it was Jameson Williams.
Oh,
with the Lions.
That's yeah. Okay. Nope. Now I'm remembering. Thank
there
you.
It is. There it is. I found it.
But that 2011 season, I just remember it again being 12, 13 years old or whatever. And I remember going on NFL Network like the next morning on Monday, so excited because they were going to show so many Bills highlights.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh, they're scoring so much. And I remember maybe it was either week two against Oakland or going into week three against New England where they were just talking about how like the entire offense was basically like fifth round and later, like everybody. Looking back on it, that was not sustainable by any means. And ultimately, Fitzpatrick gets hurt. They lose a ton in a row to go 6-10. Yeah. But at the time, like after
they started
beat the
off 5-2 and ended 1-8.
Yeah, after they beat the Patriots, though, I was sitting there. I'm like, we're gonna have a bunch of like nobodies that are just gonna like, drag us to the playoffs. We're not that good.
I think Fred Jackson broke his leg, and he was out for the season.
Yeah, this season, this is Fred Jackson's best season. Is 2011. He was honestly like on for like offensive player of the year kind of stuff. Josh, let me pull up his stats from that season, the 2011 one. So in 10 games played, he had 934 yards rushing, 6 touchdowns, and then he had 39 receptions, 442 yards, no touchdowns. He was just everywhere. He was doing everything for them, and he's doing this at 30 years old. Oh, man, that was a really cool year. I want to pull up like the game log for that because, oh, man. 2011 Fred Jackson was different, and this is during the period too where they've got CJ Spiller and is he actually the better running back because of yards per carry and such. But I mean, he starts off the year 2 straight 100 yard rushing games, receiving, he's catching passes. Against New England, he has 74 rushing yards, 87 receiving yards. He has 3 straight 100 yard rushing games as well against Philadelphia, the Giants, and Washington. They go 2-1 in that stretch.
He had only one 1,000-yard season in 2009.
Oh,
man.
If he had just missed, like, one game in that year, you're looking at, like, a 1,400-yard rushing season and like, an 800-yard receiving season.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so frustrating. Because I love Fred Jackson. I think we all do. He's probably one of the most beloved, drought-era Bills. Him, Eric Wood, Kyle Williams.
Even Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Ryan Fitzpatrick absolutely is on there. For me, Stevie, obviously. Yep. I think for most people he'd be up there, but yeah. Oh man,
Mount Rushmore Bills drought era.
Fitz,
top four.
Fred, Brian Moorman, Kyle Williams. Where am I at four?
That's four.
I'll leave it there.
Wait. Yeah, four.
I'll leave it there. I feel good about that.
All right.
I feel really good
about
that.
I love Brian Moorman.
I'd personally swap out Brian Moorman.
This city was ready to riot when they cut him. He deserves a spot on the route Mount Rushmore. I was there. I was ready to go.
He could be an honorable mention, sure.
No, he's like not there.
He's the fifth guy, but
he makes perfect sense for a huge playoff drought, though. That a punter needs to be on there.
That is true.
I'm not gonna realistically put like a great player or two on there. Like Fitz is there for the vibes. Great guy has memorable wins, but the stats were always frustrating. They paid him, and you kind of knew it was gonna go bad. You know, even the great players they had kind of hated the city, and there was never really good feelings there. McGahee, Lynch, stuff like that. Where, Fred's coming from Coy College. That's awesome. Moorman's a punter. We always saw him. It was great. Kyle Williams,
he was
kind of there all the way to the end.
Pro Bowler Moorman always was. He was always the only Pro Bowler that came from the Bills.
Him and Kyle Williams. Williams, though, was like the underrated like defensive tackle of his generation. That if he was on a better team, more people would know who he is. Mm-hmm. You know, he just wasn't as good as like someone like Joe Thomas on a bad Browns team. But everyone's like, yeah, but he's the best left tackle in football. I can't say anything bad about him.
All right, we only got about like half hour or so left, but I'm putting the tweet out there now. Give me your Bills drought, Mount Bills Rushmore. Let's go. Check it out on Twitter right now.
It's all because it's the 14th anniversary to...
Yeah, just because the Bengals...
The Why So Serious
Again,
game.
Thank you, Will, for tweeting this at us, because this has led down a nice rabbit hole here.
One of my favorite highlights, easily my least favorite uniforms, though, for the Bills. Easily my least favorite uniforms. Even surpassing blue pant current era. Even surpassing those.
What can we bring up the navy blue discussion again? Why you don't like it? Because I like it.
Bad. Well, look here. My big reason why I don't like it, honestly, is because they were really, really bad in them.
That's fair.
That's a big part. If they were good in them, they all of a sudden become better.
Well, it's the same.
I think Patriots fans would tell you the same thing. Like, yeah. Those uniforms they had forever were a complete change to mm-hmm. what they had in the 80s and 90s. Where, I mean, they were wearing red or even the Drew Bledsoe era where it's bright blue. 2000s, they go to darker uniforms, and it stays forever. Why? They were winning.
Yeah.
And the Bills, I'm not saying would have absolutely changed the uniforms already, but if they were like currently still bad, we'd probably be having a discussion of, like, do we just change it back to the red helmets? Do we go back to the 90s? Maybe. I mean, teams do that. I mean, they'll change uniforms just for the sheer fact of the bad vibes. We talk about this with the Sabres all the time.
Right.
Of
the dark blue in the mid-2010s.
Yeah.
It looks like when I was watching that highlight reel earlier from the 10-game win streak, it's weird to see them in that dark blue because, wow, they were really good. But mm-hmm. then you remember how bad everything else was around that.
Brian Colzio, by the way, not tweeting him but texting in, Eric Wood over Fitzpatrick.
Ooh.
I think that's fair.
I can listen to that.
I think that's fair.
Fitz has just – both him and Eric Wood both have that personality.
Mm-hmm.
But just – everything Fitz has done, well, but Eric's.
I was
it's
say,
hard because I was gonna say everything Fitz has done for the Bills since then, but Eric works with the Bills,
really
so it's
helped,
hard.
But and I don't say this negatively. I think it is an important aspect that Eric Wood now is part of the Bills broadcast,
right,
and
right.
it has been for a number of years, mm-hmm. and is good.
Fitz
at his
is
job.
Just supporter from afar.
Yeah,
yeah. I think it's okay to put Eric in there.
But, and you know what? And also this too, Eric. Only played for the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm. Fitz was kind of a journeyman.
You can even argue Fitz magic is more of a thing after the Bills. And that there are moments, sure, but the Fitz magic kind of moniker mm-hmm. sort of comes afterwards.
We've got some early ones here. Mike tweets in, Brian Mormon.
Correct. Fitz, it's objectively correct.
Fitz, okay. Fred Jackson, and Aaron Schobel.
The Aaron Schobel. The Aaron Schobel. All right. Okay.
We've also got one here from Eric. Kyle Williams, Mario Williams, Fred Jackson, and Fitz. That's fair.
I mean, if we're talking
Mario Williams,
if we're talking talent, I understand the Mario
that's,
thing.
Right. That was just like a big moment. But I don't know if I could put him up there because of the fact of just... Mm-hmm. Other than the signing, it was like, okay, cool. You know?
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Talking a little Bills drought here on the bye week. If you want to jump in with your Mount Rushmore or even just favorite player from that era, would love to hear it. We're on for another half hour here as we get ready for Paul Hamilton and Brayton Wilson to cover Sabres Live today, as both them and One Bills Live off today and tomorrow with the Bills on the bye week. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, you're listening to WGR.